It's August 19th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, traditional markets, and the crypto community of Puerto Rico. This episode is sponsored by Kava, Nexo.io, and Celo. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin held its ground above $44,000, even after Japan's liquid exchange that a hacker had taken off with millions of dollars in crypto during Asia trading hours. According to a tweet on Thursday, the exchange said its warm wallets, those are the ones that it processes transactions from immediately and represents a relatively small portion of its overall holdings, were compromised, and that it was moving digital assets offline. While the total amount stolen has yet to be determined, the value taken in Bitcoin, Ether, Ripple, Tron, and others could be upwards of $90 million. Eddie Wang, a senior researcher at OKLink, told CoinDesk. While headwinds in China, with its slowing economy and tech sector crackdown, are also impacting crypto markets, the liquid hack is so far having little impact. That's a sign of continuing bullish sentiment, the firm noted. Although Bitcoin sellers were active over the past few days as short-term overbought signals appeared on the charts, if prices continue to decline, the next opportunity for the bulls is at the $42,000 breakout level. That could stabilize the current pullback. The Relative Strength Index, also known as the RSI, is approaching oversold levels in the 4-hour chart, similar to August 3rd, which preceded a price bounce. On the daily charts, the RSI is neutral after reaching overbought levels over the past 2 weeks. However, Bitcoin has fallen squarely back below the 200-day moving average, canceling out a technical move that we saw on August 13th, which would have purported higher prices. Quote, "We still have supported $44,000 and $42,000, which is the line in the sand for short-term momentum," end quote. John DeWitt, CIO of digital asset firm ZeroCap, told CoinDesk via Telegram. Bitcoin will need to remain above that $42,000 or $40,000 price in order to retain the uptrend towards $50,000 to $55,000. Quote, "A daily break below the $42,000 price would place some confidence in the bears, but on balance, we believe the price will hold above this level over the coming week," DeWitt said. On-chain indicators also point to Bitcoin holding above that level, at least in the short term, as so-called smart money flows out of the exchanges continue to reign supreme, according to Glassnode data. Generally, smart money, as it's sometimes called, dominates exchange flows, according to ZeroCap. If Bitcoin is leaving exchanges, it can indicate an intention to hold. Conversely, when Bitcoin moves onto exchanges, it can indicate an intention to sell. Quote, "Ethereum even more so, with exchange balances hitting an all-time low this week," DeWitt said, and continued, quote, "Leverage is not excessive in this market right now, all very supportive of a buoyant week ahead, despite the macroeconomic landscape," end quote. Bitcoin is currently trading at $44,547, down 4/5 of a percentage point since yesterday, while Ether is trading at $2,994, down almost a full percentage point in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, global stocks tumbled while the S&P 500 index futures were down for a third day. Treasuries and the dollar rallied as concerns about the withdrawal of Federal Reserve stimulus mixed with growing angst about the virus and global supply chains. Contracts on the S&P 500 index lost as much as 1.1%, and the equity fear gauge headed for the biggest weekly increase since January. A sell-off in commodities deepened as iron ore plunged more than 10%, and oil headed for its longest slump since the early days of the pandemic. The 10-year Treasury yield shed 3 basis points, or 3/100ths of 1%, and the greenback headed for a 9-month high. We did see some winners, however. Shares of graphic chip maker Nvidia rose 1.3% pre-market after the company benefited from continued hot demand for devices from computer video game enthusiasts and cryptocurrency miners, pushing its sales and profits to records in its most recent quarter. Revenue at Robinhood Markets Inc. more than doubled in the second quarter thanks to a torrent of customers trading cryptocurrency. Roughly 63% of the company's customer base with funded accounts traded digital assets in the second quarter. Robinhood earned $233 million in fees for routing customer cryptocurrency trades to high-speed trading firms, with Dogecoin accounting for nearly 2/3 of that volume. And that number, $233 million in fees, is up from just $5 million a year earlier. Meanwhile, in the old world, major European indexes slumped in afternoon action, with London's FTSE 100 and the broad Europe Stoxx 600 both dropping close to 2%, while Frankfurt's DAX was down 1.8%. The Paris CAC 40 slumped 2.5%. Across the region, luxury retailers such as Burberry, LVMH, and others sustained the steepest losses alongside miners and airline groups. Turning to the east, Alibaba tumbled to a record low in Hong Kong after China hit the industry with a fresh round of regulations. The company's U.S. shares slid 3.3% in pre-market New York trading. A combination of coronavirus responses, supply chain issues, and regulatory moves by China to meet long-term pollution goals have all been a source of concern. Outbreaks of the Delta variant in Southeast Asia, coupled with microchip supply issues, caused Toyota to reduce its global production for September by 40% from its previous plan. Today's market wrap comes courtesy of Bloomberg, The Wall Street Journal, and The Financial Times. Stay tuned for after the break when we'll share with you an in-depth look at the growing crypto community in Puerto Rico, for better or worse. Back in a minute.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins. Lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. Looking to make the most of your crypto assets? Nexo.io's got you covered. Grow your wealth securely with Nexo's high-yield interest accounts. Buy crypto on your terms, directly within Nexo's platform, and start earning daily compounding interest right away. Get the cash you need without selling your crypto from just 6.9% APR. Instantly swap between 100 crypto and traditional currency pairs. And don't worry, Nexo is insured against losses up to $375 million. Get the most of your crypto at nexo.io. That's nexo.io. Did you know that there are 4,000 crypto assets in the market today? There's only one network that makes your crypto mobile. Celo's mobile-first platform makes financial dApps and crypto payments accessible to anyone with a mobile phone. Celo's eco-friendly proof-of-stake consensus mechanism and phone verification protocol makes it easy for you to spend, send, stake, and earn Celo assets and stablecoins all from your mobile phone. Visit Celo.org and download Celo-compatible dApps today. That's CELO.org.
Today's featured story comes courtesy of CoinDesk's Daniel Kuhn. Andrew Keyes' last half-hour reverse commute from Manhattan to Consensus's office in Brooklyn, New York, was a meditative experience. The founding father of the Ethereum blockchain daydreamed ways blockchains could improve the world, from digitizing money to decentralizing the web, before stepping out of a subway car into a gray winter morning. He much prefers dialing in from a tropical paradise. Keyes moved to Puerto Rico in January of 2018, the height of the previous crypto bull market. He was part of a wave of early crypto adopters looking to take advantage of the island's generous tax incentives. It was a trend that once symbolized the excesses of the blockchain industry, which settled down during the bear market but is now roaring back. The reason is as clear as the island waters. Puerto Rico is a tax haven. That's true for everyone, but the island's hands-off approach to capital gains, income, and business taxes is just what pro-capitalist state skeptics look for in a residence. Call it simpatico with crypto, with the bonus of getting to keep your U.S. passport. Quote, "Puerto Rico is awesome," Keyes said. "It's a beautiful Caribbean island. It's safe. It has what I would consider one of the most entrepreneurial-minded communities that are building all sorts of different businesses." End quote. After leaving Consensus in 2019, he joined risk management firm Dharma Capital, which has a base on that island. One element that defines the latest crush of crypto natives emigrating to the island is the insistence that the move means business. Pantera, one of the most watched hedge funds in crypto, have relocated to San Juan. So have CoinMint, a large Bitcoin miner. Super Rare, a well-established non-fungible token platform, and legendary power couple Amanda and Sam Cassett, Consensus alums turned marketing guru and venture capitalist respectively. There are money men, freelance coders, and those trying their hand at the ultra-modern business of ETH staking. Coral DeFi, an investment management firm, Dex Grid, a decentralized energy startup, and the Barnbridge decentralized finance protocol were all spun up from the get-go in Puerto Rico. And they're more than welcome. In 2012, Puerto Rico passed two laws, Act 20 and Act 22, meant to court entrepreneurs and corporations. Act 20 set a 4% tax for businesses that export services, say blockchain consultancy from the island. But Act 22 is the real draw. Though it's officially part of the U.S., the island has cordoned itself off from the mainland's tax code and exempts residents from taxes on capital gains. That makes it the only place on U.S. soil where income from investments, interest, and dividends are untaxed. All you have to do is spend 183 days per year on an island known for its pearl-white beaches and dark rums, and residing on a boat within territorial waters also works. Quote, "I wouldn't call it a loophole," said the co-founder of Column Tax. "I don't think it's a hidden thing, Puerto Rico and other tax havens. Those are pretty commonly talked about among high net worth individual community," end quote. Plenty of jurisdictions, many of them tropical paradises, compete for treasure by offering low or no taxes. Some, like El Salvador, have directly appealed to the Bitcoin community. But only Puerto Rico, which is closer to Caracas than it is to Miami, offers residents an easy way to keep their U.S. citizenship. That doesn't mean you're likely to find suits wandering the sandy shores. It is crypto, after all. Even when Keyes was taking the L train, he was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. But the new crush of immigration is self-consciously more corporate-oriented than the last, if only as a reaction to previous criticism of trying to set up an unincorporated U.S. Commonwealth as a, quote, blockchain island. In 2017, former child star and presidential candidate Brock Pierce introduced the world to both the smart contract platform EOS and the idea for a crypto homestead called Portopia. The latter plans drew major media attention, and for good reason. Pierce and his cadre purchased hotels, churches, and even a defunct children's hospital to house their crypto sandbox. There were plans to incorporate a city. Although the rich have long exploited Puerto Rico's ready-made tax avoidance setup, it was Pierce who really brought the concept to crypto, quote, "Brock is still number one, just the amount of people he has in his network, the amount of traveling he does, and the influence that he has in the community," Pedro Rivera, founder of Crypto Mondays in San Juan, said over the phone. In exchange for paying very little in taxes, these crypto nouveau rich men, mostly men at least, would reinvest their capital in Puerto Rico. That's always been the implicit goal of any business-friendly tax policy, and with Pierce, it became an explicit promise. And it was made all the more real in the wake of Hurricane Maria, which devastated the island's already fragile economy and infrastructure. Pierce, who has promised to donate his multi-billion dollar fortune in part to support his chosen homeland, launched rebuilding efforts in real life and on-chain. But it's hard to judge the impact of that work. Real money was spent, but it wasn't quite the renaissance as advertised, and Pierce did not respond to multiple requests for comment on this story. Of course, the severe market downturn and later global pandemic derailed many of the wildest plans to build back up. But it was never clear precisely what reinventing Puerto Rico's digital economy meant, or if it was wanted. Quote, "People don't have light, electricity, the internet, their roofs are leaking," Rivera, who immigrated from the Bronx in 2017, said. "They don't care about crypto, bro," end quote. If there was any tangible effect crypto wealth has had on the island recovery efforts, it was likely made at the individual level or was too local to be noticed, he said. For his part, Rivera said he helped raise $27,000 to fund roof work at Poets Passage, a local landmark where he holds weekly crypto meetups. Recently, he closed a $100,000 funding round backed by the Crypto Mondays community to give away wallets preloaded with $10 in crypto to thousands of kids at the Boys and Girls Club. Quote, "I've had a bunch of Puerto Ricans that have made money in crypto by investing in it," he said. But in terms of crypto companies creating high-paying jobs for locals, continuing the quote, "we haven't really been able to make that flourish just yet," he said. For some, the vaporware, the tax dodge, the monastery to boutique hotel pipeline all adds up to one thing, exploitation. Canadian leftist intellectual and author Naomi Klein looked at the situation and called it crypto-colonialism. Gillian Crandall, a researcher, called it a perverse form of disaster capitalism. CoinDesk published a report that asked if Puerto Rico could survive the, quote, "eternal boy playground," the rough Latin translation of Portopia. Quote, "If it weren't for the fact that Puerto Rico is a U.S. commonwealth, the Portopia venture would seem exactly like colonialism, the policy or practice of acquiring full or partial political control over another country, occupying it with settlers, and exploiting it economically. Wait, no, actually it's still colonialism," end quote, CoinDesk's Bailey Reitzel wrote in 2018. It's a legacy that's hard to outrun. So let's talk about what it takes to make a blockchain island. It was the fourth week of Keiko Yoshino's one-week Caribbean vacation last winter before she realized she didn't want to leave. She flew back to Washington, D.C., where she was working in the public sector, to pack up her belongings and tie up loose ends. She arrived back in San Juan with two suitcases and a new title, executive director at the Blockchain Trade Association in Puerto Rico. Quote, "If you asked me in December, I would be like, Bitcoin, that's like the imaginary money, right?" she said. But in Puerto Rico, it clicked. Everything clicked. She fell in love with the technology and the island. Quote, "It's a vibe. It's the energy. It's like falling through the looking glass," she said. "It's very different here. Different values, different priorities," end quote. Yoshino isn't your usual suspect when thinking about crypto and Puerto Rico. She's not a crypto bro. She's not crypto rich. And she's not looking to start an anarcho-capitalist collective. She helped found the Blockchain Association to support the local crypto community and put her years of government experience to work. It pays the bills, but she's not getting rich. But that doesn't stop people from attacking her. Quote, "I was on social media earlier. They misspelled my name. They called me a crypto colonizer," she said. As a relative newcomer to the industry, she finds the idea that blockchain startups are malevolent usurpers to be as laughable as the idea that they're going to revolutionize the island anytime soon. Quote, It's disconnected from reality, she said. Her day job has her organizing a conference this winter. On the weekend, she plays volleyball. She mentioned an association member, Raincoat, an insurance firm that's using blockchain technology to help disperse insurance payments after hurricanes. From her perspective, the tax incentive program has largely helped the country, but not everyone agrees. Quote, it's kind of sickening how the corporations that are there to take advantage of the 4% export tax do absolutely nothing to improve the local economy. A crypto trader who goes by the handle PVKT on Reddit, and who has to remain pseudonymous, said. They moved there in 2019, primarily for the tax benefits, before repatriating. Living in a resort town 2 years after Maria, he faced roaming blackouts that were, quote, not very conducive to trading, end quote. Then there was the abject poverty on view, the concrete houses, the crumbling infrastructure, the lack of water or basic utilities. It was hard to square his lifestyle and those around him with the experience of local people, quote, you trade a lot for the incentives. If money is your only concern and nothing else, then it might fit the bill, they said. Jason, or J-S-O-N, a pseudonymous Twitter user, was also planning to move to Puerto Rico before he stared down a similar moral quandary, quote, when I look deeper into it, there's a lot that is less than desirable. Wealthy people move there but do little to contribute to the local economy. The people there are so nice, but some feel taken advantage of, he said. To the extent that there is a crypto community in Puerto Rico, it is likely developed because of the proximity principle. Most of the crypto expats I spoke to live in the same few neighborhoods in San Juan or Dorado, a wealthy coastal enclave. There are world-class restaurants nearby where the hosts speak English and private schools to send your kids. Quote, what happens is you have a high concentration of these people in small areas, Rivera said. Although he lives in a neighborhood that's primarily Spanish-speaking, he prefers to socialize with the upper class. Quote, so what happens is we all go to the same places. There are not that many high-end places in Puerto Rico, end quote. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Although the rich may escape paying capital gains taxes, they still contribute to the state. Keyes notes he pays corporate income tax, property tax, sales tax. Quote, there's infinite taxes that people still will have to pay, albeit potentially lower, he said. At times, the expats have faced more pressure for their decision to move to Puerto Rico than taking a gamble on decentralized internet money. But in some sense, moving abroad to escape one's tax burden is similar to plugging out of the current monetary system through crypto. Both are ways to outrun the state, an attempt to build an alternative system. Quote, no one's going to pay all those taxes, Rivera said of the comparatively high tax bill he was staring down if he stayed in the Bronx. Quote, if you had the opportunity to not pay, it's not like our government needs the money, bro. They can print out money whenever they want. End quote. And that's our show for today. Thanks very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com or leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup, and just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.